It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
So when my kids were in elementary school, they all had a teacher that on the 21st day of September would play this song as the kids would walk in.
I love that.
I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Agreed.
That is my favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire song. You gotta love it. So today is crazy. So Trump is naming all of the folks who are going to be in his cabinet. We actually thought Andrew Bailey had a shot to be attorney general. He was in the running. And I had made a statement earlier when Scott Fawn was on. I only know of one other Missourian who was Attorney General of the United States, but Sheriff Scott Lewis, who is Mr. Historian, he and Steve Ellman always keep me up on history of what's going on in Missouri, right? And Scott let me know that Lincoln's Attorney General was Edward Bates. And Edward Bates, because you remember Team of Rivals, everybody that Lincoln ran against to be president, he put them all in his cabinet. Imagine that today. Wouldn't that be an S show that would go on, huh? That would be kind of crazy. So we've got all kinds of folks out there. If you haven't heard, we didn't win. The Republicans won the White House, the Senate, and they announced today they hit 218. So we have the House as well. You have all three branches, or all three.
Wow.
Trump should be able to get everything done, although he has named three House of Representatives members in his cabinet. So I'm curious as to what that is going to mean in how quickly are those folks going to get replaced to where Speaker Johnson is actually going to have their votes. Because until they get replaced, you're going to be short three votes that you're going to need to be able to get stuff done.
Wow.
So we'll see how all that stuff works out. We are going to talk to Dr. John Porter, who is the president of Lindenwood University, a little bit later on this hour. There was a story about how several St. Louis colleges are on the watch list to financial risk. Some of the presidents have actually pushed back. Missouri Baptist University, Keith Ross said, no, we're good, man. I don't know why do you put us on that list, but Missouri Baptist is good. And Dr. Porter said Lindenwood is good. So we're going to talk to him a little bit and get a little update on the state of education that is going on in St. Louis and around the country. But in the meantime, we are going to have a little Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Yay! Did you know it's National Indian Pudding Day?
I didn't even know there was Indian pudding.
I didn't either. Fred,
no.
That sounds too
not
out of bounds for Fred to eat. But I do find myself, when I go out, you know, I like Indian food. I like, you know, Thai food. But these are not places where I order dessert.
Now, when you say Indian pudding.
Yes.
What type of Indian? This is not Native American Indian.
No.
This is traditional.
This is India, the country of India.
The country of India pudding.
Yeah. And the picture that I saw that went with it was just kind of, it looked creamy, like a white creamy something with some stuff on top of
it. Like tapioca?
Yeah, there were not any bubbles or, you know. I do not like the tapioca texture. I can't do it. Don't offer me bubble tea. Fred, do you eat tapioca?
I can eat it. Sure.
Mike?
Now, I'm not a tapioca guy. Yeah. I don't know what bubble tea is.
Oh, bubble tea, they has those little bubbles at the bottom. Google it. I don't understand why. John, bubble tea?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
John was thinking that through, wasn't he? I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, I had to think about turning my mic on, but I didn't really have to think about that.
Yeah, I was busy running the show. Don't interrupt me.
I don't know why they have... I call them globules. I don't know what else they would be.
That's never a good word.
It isn't, Fred. No. Anyway, but the people love it, so don't... It's just because I'm anti-globule. All right, on this day in history, 78 years ago, that's in 1946, skiers at Mount Greylock, Massachusetts, were amazed by inventor Vincent Schaefer's new creation. What would it be?
Vincent Schaefer.
78 years ago, the skiers in Massachusetts, what?
A ski lift?
No.
Ooh, that's a good guess, though.
Thank you.
A toboggan. I have no idea.
Artificial snow.
Artificial snow.
Fake snow is 78 years old today.
Is Hidden Valley still a thing?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
In fact, I looked it up when I saw this story today, and they open at 4 today.
They open at 4 today?
Yeah.
Well, with the weather that you have, there you go. Wake up from your nap and go skiing.
Yeah.
It just opened 12 minutes ago. Take us with you.
Well, John Krasinski... besides who was in a close race with everyone here, of course, for this year's sexiest man alive.
I didn't win?
No.
Man!
He from The Office and Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, A Quiet Place. He also appeared on The Late Show and taught Stephen how to kind of be sexy. But here's the deal. He actually became, and I think it shocked him as well. John Krasinski lives in Brooklyn with his wife, Emily Blunt, who is adorable, and their two daughters. He says, quote, "I think it's going to make me do more household chores." After this comes out, she's going to be like, "All right, that means you're going to really earn it here at home."
Nice.
I thought that was kind of cute.
You know, the good news is I have a 58-year streak of not being the sexiest man.
Maybe they're still counting the ballots for you.
Yeah, that could be.
I was looking for write-ins, but it didn't happen. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
No. My wife didn't even write me in, which is disappointing.
Denzel Washington, who I love. I don't know who doesn't love Denzel.
This is true.
He says director Ryan Coogler is writing a part for him in Black Panther 3, but it could be one of his final roles. Quote, "At this point in my career," says Denzel, "I'm only interested in working with the best. I don't know how many more films I'm going to make, probably not that many, but I want to do things that I haven't done." And a third Black Panther hasn't officially been announced, but Marvel boss Kevin Feige has previously mentioned a potential sequel. And you know what? He's a huge draw because I had not seen any of the Black Panthers. I saw a little bit on cable.
I saw the first one.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a second one.
But the fact that Denzel's in one, you think, maybe I want... Yeah. He's so great.
It's disappointing that he would say, you know, "I don't know how many more I'm going to do." I mean, Clint Eastwood is what, 180?
Yes.
And he's still making movies.
He is. He is. And he is 180.
I smile at him saying, "I only want to work with the best."
Right.
Well, you know, this point in your career, though, you can, right? If somebody isn't up to whatever your standards are.
Well, my guess is he doesn't need the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He could just do whatever the heck he wants. He's got all the F monies. Me, you, all of it.
He's Denzel. He can do whatever he wants.
The nominees for the 2025 Songwriters Hall of Fame were announced yesterday.
Ah.
They've got Eminem in there, Janet Jackson, Boy George. How about Boy George?
Boy
I kind of like that.
Yep.
Doobie Brothers, Alanis Morissette, Sheryl Crow, Bryan Adams, George Clinton. And here's one I was happy about, Steve Winwood.
Oh, yeah. Wait, so all
these
the Doobie
are nominees.
Brothers?
Yeah, I don't know. They just said Doobie Brothers.
Okay. I guess they wrote all the songs together.
I guess. And a songwriter with a catalog of notable songs qualifies for induction 20 years after their first significant song release.
Oh.
And unfortunately, voting is not open to the public, which I think is probably good and bad.
So who votes on it?
It's just a committee for the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And whoever gets in will be honored in a ceremony sometime next year. And I didn't read about how many of those people get in. But that was a pretty good list from which to
choose.
That
is a good list. I wonder if you get in, if you get named to the committee and you get to vote.
Maybe. Maybe it's past winners. I didn't go that far in.
I have a nice Boy George story.
Oh, what you got? Were you in the elevator with him? Fred is always
no. And he asked Fred, do you really want to hurt
yes,
me?
Yes.
No. Close. My wife, Marie, for a while worked in London as a correspondent.
That's right.
And she covered... I guess it was like the We Are the World or one of those groups where all the stars showed up.
Oh, my God.
And so she covered it as a reporter. And as she was walking in, she said Boy George was right behind her, was very nice talking to her, and raced ahead of her and opened the door for her.
Well, that
helped her,
nice.
Helped her into the recording session.
That's so really I've huge always thought
he's a great guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that 20-year wait. Yeah. Because he would have been about 20 years ago. That's interesting. All right, the Mayo Clinic has posted guidelines for how many push-ups men and women should be able to do at various ages.
I'm curious about this
one. And this is from ages 25 to 65.
Speaking of me underperforming.
Now, of course, they mentioned being healthy is also about diet, cardio, lifestyle choices, blah, blah, blah. But... if you can do this many push-ups, they say it's a sign you're at least in good shape.
Okay.
If you're 25 years old, 20 push-ups for women, 28 for men. 35 years old, 19 and 21. So 19 for the women, 21 for the men. 45 years old, 14 for the women, 16 for the men. If you are 55 plus,
I'm in the category.
10 push-ups for women and 12 for men.
All in a row?
Fred.
Wait, without stopping?
Throughout the day?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Do they count stair push-ups?
No.
The ones where you lean into the stairs and you've seen those?
Now, I could do like the girly kind where you put your little knees down, but I don't know. I'd have to try for like a man one.
I can do 12 push-ups. I'm good.
Okay.
I can do that.
All right. Well, then you're fine. When you're 65 years and older, you've got to do each... they start off with a huge difference, and then by the time we're 65 plus, we each just have to be able to do 10.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. Fred, could you do yours?
I think I'd be really stressed to do it.
But we're not going to make you prove it.
No, we're not going to make you prove
thank
it.
You.
It's just something to think about.
I'll work on it.
Okay.
Hey, you know, RFK would hop on the floor right now and show you how he could rock 50 at the moment.
That's right.
Which, by the way, he hasn't been named to the cabinet yet.
Well, he's got a particular job to do, so I don't know if he's going to be... It'll be interesting to see what his title will be.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack.
Oh, no. That's fine.
Well, Random thought just went through.
With Thanksgiving right around the corner, people online are starting to come out with, here's what happened to me. This is the weirdest thing that has happened to me in the past with guests in my house. And we have a couple highlights. One time, somebody had a friend come over. They were going to spend the night. They had come from out of town. They forgot their toothbrush. So they used a random loose one they found under this person's sink. The homeowner says they had to tell them that is the one they use for cleaning.
The toilet.
The toilet.
I knew that was coming.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Why would you do that? In what situation do you... just go to Walgreens. It can't be that far.
Or, you know, so tomorrow I have a dentist appointment, right? Mm-hmm. Every time I go to the dentist, they give me a free toothbrush. Well, we use those electronic toothbrushes, right?
Yes.
So, but I keep them. I bring them home and I keep them. And I've probably got 5 or 6 of them underneath my sink. And they're still brand new in packaging. If you were visiting, I would say, oh my gosh, I forgot. You don't by chance have.
Right.
I'm not just going to go grab a random toothbrush from underneath the sink.
could be used for the dog. That's another one. Some people brush the dog teeth.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to get much worse than the toilet.
Somebody had a guest go through their garbage can pulling out perfectly good food.
Oh, my God. So that's a George Costanza.
It is.
It
shouldn't
go to waste. It's a total George Costanza.
It was above the rim.
Oh, my gosh.
Put your shirt on, George.
Somebody was making a pineapple ham glaze, which I can't even... That just sounds... I don't like sweet and meat. Pineapple and ham, I can't. Anyway, they say that their mother-in-law thought it was burned, so she, quote, dumped it in the toilet and flushed it.
The ham or the glaze?
No, the glaze.
They poured the glaze down the toilet? Oh, my gosh.
Honey, this is burnt. Whoosh, flush. But...
Thanks, Mom. That was a glaze. It was supposed to be that way.
And somebody had a friend stay over in the middle of the night. They woke up to them rearranging the furniture to, quote, improve the feng shui.
No way. Overstep much?
Oh, my God.
Hi. Did I ask you to do that? No. Hey, I've got a room for you. It's down the street at the hotel.
And here's your toothbrush.
Yeah, no kidding.
And a person... A person said their brother-in-law changed their baby's diaper on the dining room table during Thanksgiving dinner. They said they offered him a private place, but he did not take the hint and said, quote, I don't want to miss the conversation. Oh.
Then get on the floor. Don't put it on the table.
So we could all look forward to the holidays. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Ahem. Starburst, the candy?
Yes.
Were originally called Opal Fruits.
Opal Fruits?
When they debuted in 1959. They weren't renamed Starburst until 1968.
Really?
And that's it for Sue's News.
That's a good one.
I was looking up when you said bubble tea, and I said, I don't know what bubble tea is. It's also known as pearl milk tea,
globules,
bubble milk tea, tapioca milk tea, and boba tea, B-O-B-A.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It looks disgusting. So yes. I'm going to take a hard pass on that. I'll do green tea or something like that. That's all good. All right, Sue, thank you very much. So we were talking earlier about the fact that there's an article in the Post-Dispatch talking about how several St. Louis colleges are making a watch list for financial risk. Fontbonne is the one that everybody kind of thinks about lately that... did they declare bankruptcy?
They did not make it. I don't know.
They didn't make it, but I wasn't sure about that. And I think they sold their campus, at least part of their campus, to WashU.
Mm-hmm.
So WashU ended up buying that. But it made me think of what is the state of higher education today? Because there's been a lot of conversation about that. Dr. John Porter, who is the president of Lindenwood University, is going to join us next. And we will get you caught up on that. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Mark Reardon today. He will be back in studio tomorrow. Thank you to listening to our St. Louis's home of conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today. Mark will be back with us tomorrow, so be good to have him back in studio. And then on the roundtable coming up on Friday, Jane Duker's going to be here, of course. Jeff Rainford will join the panel, and Gene Evans. So that will be a good one to catch on Friday. So I was scrolling through STL today, earlier today, and I saw an article that said several St. Louis colleges make watch list for financial risk. And we all probably heard about Fontbonne earlier over the past couple of years, and there's been some other universities in the area that have talked about some struggles that they have gone through. But it made me wonder, what is the state of higher education, not just in the St. Louis area, but around the country? So reached out to Dr. John Porter, who is the president of Lindenwood University, which, by the way, was not listed anywhere in this story of financial risk. Dr. Porter.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, I know you've had a whirlwind of a day. You were in Texas when I reached to you earlier today, so thank you very much for making the time. Hey, I don't know if you happened to see this article, but I just wanted to check in with you to try to look at what is the state of higher education, both here in the St. Louis area, but broader around the country.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'll tell you, as I've talked to my board and I've talked to constituents, higher education probably is one of the toughest industries in the country right now, because if you think about, you know, what they've been up against, first off, most people have heard about the enrollment cliff. So, you know, 18 years ago or so, there weren't as many births. And so therefore, we knew that, you know, there would be less students to vie for at this point in time. And of course, that's, you know, right in front of us here. You know, as we've heard, you know, the price and tuition of a college education, it's getting more costly. That's for sure, because the cost for the institutions themselves are going up. And so we have to keep up with that. It's also recognized that, or people would say, you know, is it worth it? Is a college education worth it? Of course, if you put pen to paper, you would say absolutely. The return on investment, if you just do the financials, of having a college education is real, and it's there. So for sure, there's some great you know, benefits for getting a college education. But I will say it's very competitive. So whether you look at it in our region or whether you look across the country, you know, being a tough industry, you know, if you read the news too, you know, there's one university closing a week. I was at a bond conference not too long ago, and they were going through all the financials of these universities. And of course, it's a burden. And so when you have decreased enrollment, obviously there's decreased revenues. And so, yeah, it's tough for all of us. And we're watching it very, very closely, but and competitive. And all of them, just say one more thing, the anti-Semitism that we heard, you know, over the summer or this past year hurt universities, even though many, many, many did not participate in that, women being one. But it still was this you know, thinking that all of these universities were participating, which was not. So it really has gotten, you know, a bad rap, in my opinion, but it's just competitive. But you know, there's some really, really bright spots that I see that are out there, both, you know, from a regional perspective and in the national perspective. And I think we're really trying to position ourselves for this and think ahead and be strategic.
When you're looking at, I had no idea that you're seeing that many universities close. That's a statistic that I had not heard until right now. I knew that there's been a lot of talk about it. But when you're looking at higher education overall, how are you seeing universities and maybe how is Lindenwood trying to stay relevant and beat the curve? Because I know SLU had a story out in talking about the demographics in the St. Louis area especially, and they called that St. Louis is in a demographic winter, meaning that we're not having as many kids that you alluded to earlier, and the right. kids that we're having are choosing to leave the area. For many of them, they're leaving for college and they're just never coming back. So how are you trying to stay more relevant and get more competitive in a very competitive environment?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you've got to be thinking, you know, our motto here really is to try and think ahead and think, what do students want today? So you think about the generations of students that have come through. And so we want to be that next great learner-centric university. And so what that means is really trying to think about what are their needs and expectations and preparing ourselves for that. There's four things that Lindenwood, we try to model ourselves after. That is, what do we want to provide for students? Value, cost, flexibility, and relevance. And when we say relevance, we're really talking about when you graduate with a four-year degree, you're relevant in the marketplace and you're going to get a great education. And so those kinds of things themselves are really going to attract students. And one of the things that we're doing right now is we've got such a focus on students. Students are our customer, and we want to make sure that we're taking care of our customer. We're doing surveys, which most universities are doing those kinds of things. But we're really trying to change our trajectory by appealing to the students, by looking at the needs of those students. And so one of the things that we've done, which many universities do, you're looking at the programming. You think about our majors and minors and making sure that there's the what they're looking for, we have here at Lindenwood. And those are the things that we're building. We're building the curriculum for those things. We're also really tying tightly into employment. Obviously, when you graduate, you want a great job. And so what we're doing is we're doing something very, very unique here at Lindenwood, and I can't disclose it on this call, but working with some of the major companies here in providing, you know, when the student graduates, when they go to these companies, they're already trained. There's day one, they're not going to have to be retrained by these institutions or by these companies. And so we're really excited to be able to do that. But, you know, a lot of this, too, is just it's blocking and tackling. So, you know, the digital marketing, we're doing all those kinds of things. But, you know, we're also getting out to the schools themselves. We're not just waiting for schools to come to us. We're going to the schools. And so I think that's going to be, you know, really a differentiator. And so, again, to the broader question, you know, what are we doing to, you know, to attract students? I think it's is really trying to anticipate their needs, their expectations, and being able to meet those. What we want here at Lindenwood, we want every single experience a student has, or even as an online student, but certainly driving to this university or living on this university, we want it to be a great experience. So whether you're in food service, our food is fantastic. We just switched that out a year and a half ago. Whether you're in line for financial aid, whether you're going from a dormitory to another building, we absolutely want that experience to be a great experience for our students. And so those are the kinds of things that you have to be looking towards and setting yourselves up for.
How much does and feel free to break any kind of news that you want to break today. I'd be more than happy. If you have something you want to announce, be more than happy to do that here. But I'm just thinking about how much does the university's involvement in the community have to do with its success?
Well, I'll say this, and I don't say this for my own edification here. You know, when I came to Lindenwood, you know, we were very inward focused. And so the first thing that we did, we put together what I'll call it a division, but it's called Linden Giving. And my wife actually chairs it. She spends quite a bit of time in Linden Giving. And 4 to 6 events a year are just for our community. It's just for those that surround this university. It's really in St. Charles County. And so, matter of fact, Thanksgiving's coming up, and we'll provide 110 meals for needy families. And this is, you know, my wife and the team and students and faculty, they'll go out, they'll buy all the groceries and they'll pack them. And then we'll either deliver them personally to homes or they can come on campus. We check their name off a list, they open their trunk and we load the groceries in. So it'll have a turkey and all the trimmings and the pie and all those kinds of things. But we really want to reach out to the community. And so I think we've been doing that for about 4 years now. Again, it's Linden Giving, and we're excited to be able to do those things. The other thing that we do, we're really closely aligned with Mayor Borgmeyer. He has been such a great, great person. He's on my president's council. We do a lot of things with the city, and I'm on his planning team. He's on, like I said, my president's council. And when we're doing things here at Lindenwood, we make them aware, and it's vice versa. And so by having such a close tie with our mayor, it has really, really done some great things for us. And so, you know, just as you already know, we've got some great, great plans for this university. My plan is to put $100 million into this university. We provide about $500 million of economic resources to this community. And so you think about that. Well, we want to double our size here. And so we need a new sciences building. We're going to build a bell tower. We want to put in a new entranceway here. And so we've got some great, great plans here. And so we're developing those. We're reconditioning some of our buildings here. As you know, we went D1, and we've had some exciting things happen. In fact, we beat the number 16 in the country, SEMO, on Saturday, which was phenomenal for us to do that. And on Sunday, our women's soccer won the OVC championship. So we're already in our third year in Division One. We've won the conference, and our guys are in the semifinals in soccer. And so in hockey, just saw this commercial out there. We play Ohio State Friday night and Saturday, and so our team has been really doing well. We start off the season at at one of the ranked universities, and we beat them 4-2. This was Wisconsin. So really some great things that are happening here. But, you know, going back to your original question, Mike, you know, we're on a great trend. Even though you have a lot of these headwinds, you know, in higher education, we're on a great trend here at Lindenwood from a financial perspective. And from a growth perspective, we see some really, really strong things over the next 5 years, and we're going to continue to drive that.
You know, I think I've almost dried out from the football game on Saturday. It was a great game. I was very happy. I walked the field around the outside. The great thing about going to a football game at Lindenwood, and unfortunately that was the last home game of the season, you can get right down there. You have a great view and being able to get very close to the action. But it rained all through that game, and I think I was soaked at the end of it. But what a great win for you guys, with SEMO being the number six team in the country, and I know the students were very excited. The players were really excited at the end, and they got to hoist the trophy with the rivalry that you have there. And Coach had a great line that said, "It's only a rivalry when you win some of the games." So it was really nice to get that win. But Dr. Porter, I appreciate you spending some time with us here. Congratulations on all the success in Lindenwood, and we will continue to stay in touch with you and check back to see as changes tend to happen. It sounds like you've got some pending news that you're going to announce soon, and we look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me, and go Lions.
We appreciate that. That is Dr. John Porter. He is the president of Lindenwood University out in St. Charles. So it sounds like from what the article said and talking about several St. Louis colleges on the watch list for financial risk, a number of those colleges actually pushed back and said, hey, we're not in trouble. I don't know where you got your information, but we're pretty good. So higher education is alive and well in St. Louis. It's interesting. I didn't get a chance to talk to him about this, but it's interesting to watch what's happening at the community college level. So I am of that age where we used to have VOTECs that were all around. And my sister actually learned to be an LPN at a VOTEC. And you could do an LPN school and finish that in 10 or 11 months.
Wow.
And you used to be able to get, you know, that's where you learned to be an electrician or a plumber or something like that. Community colleges have really started to step in and fill that void.
That's good.
And said, hey, this is training that we need. I know St. Charles Community College has got a welding program that is...
That's great. Practical?
So, by all means. And it's stuff that you come out in a... They're getting to more certificate-type programs because a lot of kids don't want to do 4 years. They don't even want to do two. But they need some sort of training and skill to be able to get out into the workforce. So I appreciate Dr. Porter's time today. We're going to talk to Matt Pauley. He's the KMOX sports anchor, and we will do that on the other side. Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk. So Mike Reardon is out today. He is going to be back tomorrow, though. In the meantime, Matt Pauley joins us in studio. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you.
I normally don't see you. Normally, you're a voice that comes up out of the board somewhere.
And sometimes that's better, right?
It's better for you because you don't have to look at me. You know, I look much better on the radio.
As do I. We can be together on that.
You know, it's just one of those kind of things where Sue was talking about earlier how healthy we're supposed to be at a certain age. I'm trying to get there. I'm down 35 pounds.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm trying to get to that point because my knees were getting to the point that said, you need to do something or you need to replace me. They were revolting at that point.
It's the most frustrating thing for me. So during COVID, when I was in Milwaukee doing stuff with the Brewers and I lost 100 games of baseball, so I lost most of my income, I said, I need to do something positive in my life. So at that moment, I really started working out. I have not missed a day of working out since then, but I just passed 1,600 straight days without missing a workout, 7 days a week. And I can't lose weight to save my life.
But you're probably healthy as a horse.
Well, maybe, but you gotta try no sugar. Try no sugar.
Well, that's no fun.
I know, but that's how it will work, because working out doesn't really do it.
You know what they say is
if you go
2 months without sugar and carbs,
yep.
then you give up 2 months of happiness.
Yeah, no, I like bread. That's not true. I really like
generally
bread.
How that
I
works.
Didn't say bread. I didn't even take you to the hardcore, Matt. I'll take you down. No sugar, no grains.
No.
And
no.
Fred did it. We got Fred to lose 25 pounds in really fast before he went on a vacation.
You know, vacations are where you find the weight. They're tucked away in all the fun spots.
Vinny Tortorich, look him up. No sugar, no grain.
So what's the big sports news that's making headlines today?
Yeah, I think it's the ineptitude of the St. Louis Blues, where the other day they lost a game by an 8-1 score. After the game, players are basically admitting that other players on the team gave up, quit in the third period.
Wow.
Where they gave up the 5 goals, and they come back yesterday. You know, they have this big practice leading in, everybody's saying the right things. They get up 2-0 after 2 periods yesterday, and what happens in the third? They just start playing really passive hockey, and they give up 3 goals in the third period and lose. It is an absolute, it's still early on in the season, and their record is good enough. It's 7-9, so they're not like in this hole that they can't dig out of, but when you look at what's going on with the team right now, it is disastrous.
What's behind all that? How do you lose the team chemistry like that?
Well, I don't know when the last time they had it. Maybe it was the Stanley Cup year, because the core of this team is the same group that got a Stanley Cup winning coach fired in Craig Berube last year, and they're
who was just in town not very long ago. They got a standing ovation.
They're great playing against him. Their 2 wins lately are against Toronto. You know, they love playing against their former coach who got fired.
They know how he coaches, so they should know.
When they have to just play a regular standard game. I mean, a Saturday night game at home when you get run off the ice 8-1.
Wow.
It's very this is as frustrated as I've been about this team in a while.
Anything on the horizon that you think is going to have to happen to change it?
I don't know what you can do. So, I mean, you can fire a coach again, but you've done that already. You can try to start selling off these core players that I'm sure other teams would be interested in, but you're going to sell them low because they're not performing. I very much question the character of this team right now.
You know, a lot of times I wonder in professional sports, because we talk about, you know, with the Cardinals all the time, it's, hey, get rid of the manager. And I wonder, how much difference does that actually make when you get to this level? I mean, you're a professional athlete.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It's always frustrating for me because you'll fire a coach, you'll fire a manager, and then there'll be that bump right afterwards.
Yeah.
But then it always comes back. Almost like 99% of the time it comes back. Now, when the Blues did it, when they brought in Craig Berube, that was the 1%.
Right.
But more often than not, you make those changes, especially an in-season change, and you guys just watch somebody get fired, so maybe they're going to play a little bit better for a little while.
It does light a fire.
But it's a very temporary fire more often than not.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So besides the Blues, what are we talking about?
You know, NFL football, the Chiefs just keep finding ways to win. A walk-off block this past weekend. I mean, you think about the ways they've survived this year, whether it's a field goal late, whether it's a defensive stand late, whether it's a late drive. Now they had a walk-off block. They're playing with fire. They are playing with fire, but they just keep winning football games.
My niece's husband, Alex, is a huge Raiders fan.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, being a Raiders fan in this area, he is posting the memes all the time of, you know, the officials making out with Mahomes and the officials having Kansas City jerseys on and all that kind of stuff. Because to your point, however they do it, they keep winning.
Yeah.
And it's a great story. How about the University of Indiana?
Oh, that's a great story, too. Undefeated. Now, they haven't played a ranked team yet.
But still.
But all they've done is win the games. And they're up to number 5, I believe, in the latest college football playoff rankings.
How about that?
So, Tom Ackerman, our sports director over at KMOX, is an Indiana guy. He's been very happy about that. Just beyond remarkable what the Hoosiers have been able to do this year.
And I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No, absolutely not. I mean, people, I think, thought they could be a good team, a bowl-eligible team, but undefeated on November, 13th, 14th, and a top 5 college football playoff ranking? No, nobody saw that coming.
What's going on in Sports Open Line tonight?
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about the Blues, obviously. That's going to be our big thing today, just coming off another loss yesterday. So a lot of Blues talks between 6 and 8 tonight.
That is Matt Pauly. You can hear him on Sports Open Line tonight on KMOX. Thanks for coming in, man. It's always good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
I appreciate that. Hey, we are going to turn the page and talk with Jeff Murdoch about all the stuff that's going on over at the White House. We had the big meeting today with Trump and Biden, although what you saw was allowed, I don't know, 45 seconds of their meeting. We'll dig into that and get a little bit more. Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today on 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.